mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From the Holy Gospel for this day, the 11th chapter of St. Matthew, the second verse. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" In the gospel for this second last Sunday in Advent, the imprisoned John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus with the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Which means, are you the Messiah, the long-promised Savior, or must we look for someone else to come? John the Baptist had called everyone to repentance in the light of God's coming judgment. And he had pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. But things had not turned out well for John. Fearless preacher of repentance that he was, he had not hesitated even to confront Herod the Tetrarch, the ruler of Galilee, saying to Herod's face, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife." You see, John took the sixth commandment very seriously. You shall not commit adultery. And so he says to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife." How we are in need of many John the Baptists in our day, when contempt for God's ordinance of marriage as the lifelong union of one man and one woman is treated with contempt. Just think of how our language has changed. What once was labeled adultery, is now referred to as extramarital sex. And fornication is alluded to as premarital sex. Widespread opinion being that both are just the thing done. John confronted King Herod, and for his fearless calling of Herod to account, John had been thrown into Herod's dungeon. And while he's there, even fearless John, the chosen forerunner of the Lord, wavers. He wavers. And so he sends some of his disciples to Jesus with his anxious question, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus answers John's disciples, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them." And by the poor, Jesus is not just referring to those who have very little in this world. but he's speaking of the poor in the sense of those who realize their utter and complete dependence on God. Their complete dependence on God because they are conscious of being sinners with no claim on God, but utterly dependent on his sheer mercy. A consciousness that is wonderfully expressed in the last six words Dr. Luther wrote just before he died. He wrote, "We are beggars. This is true. We are beggars. This is true." Well, the deeds Jesus points to are the deeds which the prophet Isaiah, living 700 years before Christ, ascribed to the promised Messiah. And then Jesus finally adds these words, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Meaning, not offended by Jesus' humility, his lowliness, his poverty, his rejection by almost all the rich and powerful, especially by the religious establishment of that day, the scribes and the Pharisees, the priests and the Sadducees. Truly, Jesus was, just as Isaiah had prophesied, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Well, John was not offended by Jesus. Jesus' simple words restored John's faith because John, like Jesus, was a poor one who knew that he had no claim on God and that he had no right whatever to demand that God conform to his expectations. And so John went on trusting, and he finally sealed his witness when Herod had him beheaded. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. In Jesus' lifetime on this earth, many were offended by his lowliness and humility as the suffering servant of the Lord, the crucified Savior. And so it continues to this day. For just as the people of Israel were looking for a powerful leader who would finally free them from the oppression of the Roman emperor and the emperor's governor, Pontius Pilate, and the Roman legions, so also today there are many who are still looking for some kind of Savior who will turn this present world into an earthly paradise. The truth, of course, is that there can be no earthly paradise, because every human being who has ever lived, every human being who will ever live, you and I, are born into this world with that mysterious wound we call original sin. A wound which can never be fully healed this side of death, but it can be and it is truly and fully forgiven through the precious death and merits of our Savior, through the pardon Christ bestows in the simple washing of baptism, the pardon Christ bestows in the simple word of pardon spoken by the pastor who has been put there by Christ to do that, the pardon bestowed through the simple bread and wine of the sacrament, our Lord's little, lowly way of feeding us with his life-giving body and blood. Now, none of this can be seen, just as the people of Jesus' day could not see in the humble rabbi from Nazareth, the eternal Son of the Father. It can only be believed because of Christ's utterly truthful word, the word of him who is not only the lowly child of Mary, but also the eternal Son of the Father, the one whose birthday in the flesh we now anticipate with eager expectation. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.